Mercy Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate. Kia ora and welcome to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, social justice, different cultures, and interfaith relations. My visitor today is Ruth Cleaver. Ruth, a warm welcome and hi to our radio program.
Thank you, Beate. Pleasure to be here.
Ruth Cleaver is originally from Canada and has been living in New Zealand for almost 30 years. She is the president of the Auckland Interfaith Council, where she is representing the Unificationists. And Ruth, you're not just the president, but you're also a founding member of the Auckland Interfaith Council.
Yes, you could say I'm the last man standing here because I'm the last person to be on the committee. We have a committee of around 10 people from different faith groups, and I'm the last person that was one of the original founders to be still on the committee. So I feel like I carry the history of the organization all in my head because it's been around now for 15 years. So it's relatively new, but in terms of interfaith in New Zealand, that's quite well established.
So 15 years ago, you came together with some people from other religions and decided it would be good to have a council where you meet and...
Yes, exactly. Through my own faith group, I had met over a number of years, really, quite visionary people from other faith groups. And we felt that Auckland was really ready to have a standalone, independent interfaith council. So what we did, this kind of ad hoc committee, we organized a large meeting in the Holy Trinity Cathedral because we needed a big venue. And through the help of the Baha'i organization, we sent out by post invitations to every church, every temple, every mosque, every religious building and organization we could find in Auckland and said, please come to this meeting. We are looking to create, to see if there's a mandate to have an interfaith organization in Auckland. What do you think? And we had an excellent meeting, and the result of that, the discussion groups, etc., was that definitely it felt like this is the time has come. This is, remember, this is post 9/11, and this is a time when Auckland has been rapidly diversifying in its cultures. Do you know that Auckland is considered the most cultural and ethnically diverse city in the world, either the top one or the second one, because we just have so many cultures here.
And if you have many cultures, you also have many religions.
Many religions kind of appeared like mushrooms. Suddenly there's a mosque and a mandir and a temple. So we felt that for society to be able to understand and embrace and really benefit from these new cultures, we needed to create a platform where the different religious faiths could work together, could get to know each other, could network together. And that was the real origin of the Auckland Interfaith Council. So by mid-2003, this an ad hoc team had created a framework, a legal framework. So we have a constitution and we are registered with the Charities Commission and the Companies Office Society organization and with Inland Revenue. And so that we can, you know, function as a bona fide organization.
And it's all volunteers, isn't it?
We're all volunteers. We really have no office. We have no consistent funding. Basically, the organization's documents sits in my dining room under the table in a box. So it's a pretty grassroots organization, which in some ways is nice because we determine our own direction.
Yes. And every now and then you have forums or meetings, big meetings, where you also invite people from other parts of New Zealand.
Yes, the origin of that's also quite interesting because if you go back to 2003 when we were starting out as a group, one of our members had been invited to a meeting in Wellington that was called an interfaith forum. This was back, I think, in December 2003. And the next year when our committee was meeting, she said, you know, Wellington did something last year, but I think we should do better. I think we can do better. And she kind of pushed us to take on this national level interfaith meeting. We were at that stage just having local meetings. We'd have an evening, we'd have a few speakers, panelists from different faiths. It was quite easy to manage. And this was a call to do something on a much larger scale, which was challenging for us as a new organization, just trying to develop our expertise. But we decided to do something. And so in February 2005, we hosted a national interfaith forum, and we invited everyone from the country that we knew was interested in interfaith. And it was a very good event. We used different venues here in Auckland. We used a Hindu temple for a Friday night dinner. We had a Baha'i center on a Saturday. And on Sunday, we were at the Jewish community center in Grays Avenue. So a group from Wellington had attended the weekend, and by the end of the weekend, they put up their hands and they said, this is nice. Next year, we're going to do something in Wellington. So that's actually kicked off this idea that in New Zealand, either yearly or biannually, whenever any group wanted to host it, because there's no overarching organization telling you what to do, we would have these national forums, because it was a great chance to network and to hear what other people are doing and to build kind of a sense of camaraderie among all the interfaith stakeholders in the country. So since 2005, there have been another 10 forums. So not every single year, but you know, most years there's something. And I think this has been very helpful. And we can see now in New Zealand that some of the smaller cities are developing their own interfaith organizations, and often a more established city will help them, will send out a person or deal, you know, just communicate with them in their formative stage to help them get through the founding stages, which can sometimes be quite challenging.
So you have a kind of little councils in all over New Zealand.
Starting, yes. Yeah. I mean, Tauranga, New Plymouth, Dunedin, and of course the more established ones would be Auckland, Waikato, Wellington, and Christchurch. Mm. Yeah.
And now recently we've had the Exploring Sacred Spaces. I had Daud Azimullah in the studio a few weeks ago when he was announcing the Exploring Sacred Spaces. It has happened now in November. And can you tell us more about this event, this initiative?
Yes. We're very privileged in Auckland because, as I say, there are so many beautiful and interesting faith venues just at our fingertips. And so our idea was that interfaith shouldn't just be something like a club, you know, where just a few people who have this interest come together and talk together and see each other and pat each other on the back. But we really want to see the idea of interfaith, which is just respecting, understanding, and having a sense and a feel for other people's religions. We really want this to be a grassroots thing, because we feel that neighborhoods and communities really need to start building networks among their faith groups. So we had this concept that we would create a week where specific faith venues would open to the public at a given time, and people could come to, you know, one of these visits, or they could go to all of them, whatever they were interested in. And we tried to spread them out through the map of Auckland and through the different faith communities. So, for example, we had an opening ceremony in a mosque in Avondale, and then we had a visit to a Hindu temple in Avondale, to a Catholic church in Takapuna, to a Sikh temple in Manurewa, to an Anglican church in Parnell, and to a Buddhist temple in Flatbush, and we finished up with another mosque down in South Auckland. So it was a really, really wonderful series of visits, because it was we found it very nourishing, both for the people who made the effort to go to these places and also for the groups that were hosting them. It gave them an opportunity. You know, people are usually proud of their religion, and it's important to them. And so they like to show what they have. And also, each place was very generous. They put out refreshments, and they really tried to welcome the guests and make them feel completely at home.
It was also to learn about the other religions, so that you might have prejudices against one or the other religion, but in order to get to know it's a good occasion to go and be invited to a place and be in a group of people of different faiths.
Yes, and to learn about a religion. I mean, we had introductory talks at each place. So they weren't big, long lectures, but maybe 15, 20 minutes, up to half an hour. We were given talks by the local person who was in their own environment, and we could see, you know, what it was like. We could learn how their worship services were conducted. So it was really quite an experiential way, rather than just sitting and, you know, reading a book or flicking through the internet. It was very personal, and I think people really enjoyed it.
And you also had an open end, more or less. You had an end on the for each event, but some people stayed a little bit longer. So they were not rushed after the event to go to the next place or something like that.
That's right. And one of the things we were hoping would happen, and I think it did happen in certain cases, was rather than just be a one-off experience where someone comes and they look around and they go, oh, yeah, this is interesting, we were really hoping that people from the local neighborhood would take the opportunity to visit another faith venue and actually establish a kind of a bilateral relationship, because I think that really builds community. So I know myself in the first mosque that we had our first event, it's kind of in my own neighborhood out west, so I had dropped some posters in a few of the neighboring churches. And when you drop a poster, you don't know whether it's going to end up in the bin or on the poster board. You really have no idea. But it turned out that this local Baptist church was very interested in interfaith based on their pastor, who saw this as very important work. And so he announced the events, and he brought a group of his parishioners to come to this event, and they made a point of meeting the leadership of the mosque. And, you know, it looks like they want to create some kind of ongoing dialogue. And for us, this was really the desire, you know, one of the great desired results, is to try to seed ongoing initiatives. Because, I mean, Auckland's a huge city with millions of people, and one little volunteer council like us of 10 people can't really accommodate the needs for such a big city. So we really want to see ourselves as visionaries, as a catalyst to see other people take up projects that can help build community.
I could also imagine if you walk past or you drive past a sacred space, but you've never entered, and you wouldn't enter without invitation. So this gives an opportunity to meet people and then to be in a way connected to the places, and you can say, oh yes, I've been there. Mm. They've been really nice to me. And so you lose the fear of something unknown.
Exactly. That was really one of our goals, and I think that was achieved. I know I have children in their mid-20s who are not really interested in religious things, but when I showed them this project, you know, my daughter said, oh, that's a really good idea. You know, I'd really like to go to one of those places, but I'm always just a bit scared, or you feel like you don't want to just impose or show up. So we do think that this is a good idea. We'd like it to be an ongoing annual event. It's just the challenge is just how to get the word out enough that people who would be interested know about it.
Mm-hmm. And then sometimes also there were some people who came for the first or second event and they really liked it, so they came the next time and the next time, and in the end they had made new friends of people who always came.
Yes, that's something I really hadn't, as an organizer, I hadn't anticipated that, because even myself, I have a day job. Interfaith is just my voluntary work, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, you know, 7 visits in 9 days, it's really, really busy. And I wasn't sure if I could make it to each one. I made it to 6 out of 7. But, I kept seeing some of the same faces, and they were just so excited to go here and to go there. Even people were taking 2 or 3 buses to get to another part of town. But they kind of got the taste for it and just found it really fascinating. Yeah.
And it was done for working people, because during the week it was in the evenings.
Yes.
And during the weekend it was during the day.
Yes.
And it was the main worshipping times were avoided. So like the Sunday events were on Sunday afternoon, and the Saturday was also Saturday afternoon for those who have their holy days on the Saturday and Sundays.
Yeah, we designed it that way because we thought we don't want this to be a big commitment where people are going to have to come and sit through a whole service. We just wanted them to get a taste of what the beliefs are, what the worship style is, and what the venue's like. And so that therefore it was better to create their own distinct time frames. Yeah.
And you also had people of different age groups, didn't you?
We did. We did. We sometimes had children. We had older people. And yeah. Anybody could come, and we found, you know, some people, we did try to advertise it through different websites and, you know, event sites, and we did find some people were just flipping through something saying, what shall I do today? And they found our event and showed up, so that was quite gratifying.
Yeah, and I think that for many people it was a completely new experience, completely new, and they might see the pictures from I don't know, like a temple, for example. You see the picture of the Hindu temple, and you imagine something very different to what is behind the first view that you have.
Mm.
And in a way, many of the buildings were only 20 years old.
Mm, mm.
So that is also, like you said, 15 years ago, the Interfaith Council started, and these buildings were just growing, and people had the need of building their own buildings. And I think that the Sikh temple and the Hindu temple were not that old, and also the new mosque,
yeah,
the one that we...
Well, probably when we started, maybe the only things that already existed were the churches and possibly one of the mosques. I think all the others I can remember when they started, and they're fairly new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and most of them were on the southern side of the bridge.
Yes, well, that's... You've got to kind of go where the venues are.
Yeah.
We did have one in Takapuna, which was very good. It was a beautiful Catholic church that the picture doesn't really do it justice, but inside it's quite an impressive building. And we had a great time being shown around by the father himself who spoke to us. And, yeah, it was a great event.
Yeah, it is a church that was built after Vatican II, and the Vatican II had an immense impact on the Catholic Church, on the worshipping. And I think that's another thing that you can see with the development. I think one of the mosques was not a mosque, but an Islamic center. So when people come into a new country, they have to take what they can get or where they can worship.
Mm. Yes, and I think, it's just quite impressive to see minority communities who often come here with not that much, and they're in a new country and establishing themselves, their employment, etc., but their dedication to wanting to create not just some place, but a beautiful place and a really dignified place so that they and their families and the public can really see how important their religion is to them.
And it's like traveling from country to country a little bit.
It is. It is. So if you don't want to go to the Orient, you can just go to the Buddhist temple, and it's got beautiful gardens and architecture from a dynasty gone by. So it's a fantastic experience. Likewise, the Hindu temple, I always feel like there should be monkeys jumping around there because it looks just like from something from another place.
Yeah. And then that is an interesting point. And well, for the next, you said maybe there'd be something to follow up next year or the year after next, I don't know.
Well, we're hoping that this can become an annual event because, first of all, there's lots of venues to use. There's no shortage of places to go. And we saw that people enjoyed it. So we think that this is something worth developing and finding different groups that want to partner with us and try to promote it and get it going on an annual basis.
And then get to know other neighbors.
Yeah.
Now we've got to know these neighbors, the seven neighbors, and then we can get to know other neighbors.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
And what other events does the AIFC, the Auckland Interfaith Council, organize? Or how else can somebody who's interested in interfaith, who might have missed out with the Exploring Sacred Spaces, or who only maybe went to one or two places, and if that person wants to be in touch, is there any ongoing commitment or something?
Well, We don't have any other events planned for this year, but we do have a website. So it's the Auckland Interfaith Council, all one word, .org.nz. So you can look on our website. There's a way on the website to sign into our mailing list. So that way we would be able to email you directly notices about our upcoming events. The only thing we have on our schedule is next March, at the end of March, we are going to have an international speaker come from Scotland, Dr. Maureen Sear, and she has been here before. She's very involved with all things interfaith in both the UK and in Europe, and she has a lot to share, so we're going to host her for an evening meeting that will be open to the public, and I'm sure we'll be doing some other events as well next year. We just, at the moment, we just kind of need to catch our breath after finishing 7 visits in 9 days, and we need to debrief about that and figure out how we can keep on.
Yeah, but in general, the feedback has been really positive.
Yes, we've been happy with the feedback and happy with the way it unfolded.
Yeah, and I think that now people have seen how it goes, and there will be more promotion next time, because now we know who to contact and who is in very helpful to bring the message out so that many people can come.
I think so. And I think some people that came to these visits would also be thinking, oh, I'd like my place of worship to be a host next year. So hopefully they'll be lining up and competing, and we can pick and choose. Basically, we always want to keep it broad in the sense of many different religions represented, and also geographically, because we know Auckland traffic's not the easiest to get around. And so if you have an event down the road from you, it's much more tempting to go to than something cross town or, you know, far away.
Yeah. But it has been really enriching, and the communities, I think every community learned also from having these visitors and explaining something about their faith and about what they are about.
I think so. I think, you know, interfaith itself as a concept does need to be understood, because sometimes people find it threatening. What is interfaith? Does that mean we all have to believe the same thing? No, it doesn't. It means that whatever you believe in, I believe we can respect each other, but we can get along better if we actually know something about each other, understand our similarities, can identify our differences, can discuss things, dialogue, but also find ways that we can share common values and common concerns.
And is there any cooperation with other countries where you have similar councils?
I wouldn't say we have cooperation with other countries. I mean, we're working on a city level, so I think the best we have at this stage is kind of a network of we know each other across the country. In New Zealand, we know who's in the various councils, and for example, sometimes if someone gets a good international speaker, they might put out a notice to the other councils in New Zealand and say, look, we've got so-and-so coming, do you want to host them, do you want to create an event? Because as you can imagine, being here, it's quite a big financial burden to try to bring over a speaker yourself, but if you have a speaker already here and you just need to bring them, host them. So this type of networking and collaboration, I'd say, is happening to a reasonable extent on the national level. But I think individually some people do, you know, through either their own connections or their own home country, they may have some links. So for example, I'm Canadian, and when I go to Canada, I check in and see what's happening in interfaith there and try to meet people that are doing similar work, and you get on their websites or on their list, and then you see, you know, just to keep yourself educated about countries that might be facing similar challenges and opportunities, but nothing formalized as of yet.
Yeah, but at least there is an exchange, or like you talked about, you mentioned the lady who was coming from Scotland. So you knew her through another event, or?
She's a Baha'i who did a PhD in Samoa. So even though she's Scottish, she has quite a connection to the South Pacific here. So some of the Baha'i members of Auckland Interfaith Council knew her, and I met her through them, and it was through that just personal meeting that I thought, oh, she'd be such a good speaker at the 2009 National Interfaith Forum. And because Scotland is so pro-interfaith, they actually sponsored her to come and speak here. So we didn't have to pick up her airplane and travel costs, which would have probably been prohibitive to a small, you know, a small organization. Your funding is always your challenge, and we don't want to take on big financial burdens because we don't want our volunteers to be tied up with fundraising. We want to be actually doing the work. So we try to keep things as simple as possible. I mean, even this exploring sacred spaces, we didn't have to pay anything for the whole event. We have someone who does our printing for free, and each of the host venues said, well, we'll put on an afternoon tea or an evening supper, and we didn't pay for any of the food or anything. So if there's goodwill, then a voluntary group can get a lot done without having to have a big budget.
Yeah, and it's all, as you said, it's voluntary, and it's hospitality that every community showed.
Yes, and, you know, this is where you start to find the commonality, is that a common thread in every religion is show courtesy to the stranger. You were Jews say we were once strangers from the land of Egypt, you know, but you'll find this is a common thread in every faith, that you should show great hospitality. You should, you know, some people say a guest in the house is God in the house. So yes. So therefore we got to give people the opportunity to express that, and it was no burden to anyone. We never said we want people to come and we want you to feed them, but when they heard that guests were coming, they said yes, and we're going to put on a lovely supper. And I think for most of them, it's always their volunteers that will prepare the food and set it up and clean up, and this is their chance to show their service to humanity.
Which makes it different to the forum, when you have a forum in a hotel where you have to pay room costs and things like that. But I think that it's a great idea to have this Exploring Sacred Spaces annually, and to have it in different venues, so that we can get to know Auckland better.
Yes.
And the people living in Auckland.
Yes. I mean, Auckland is just, it's perfect for this because, like I said, there's limitless venues we can choose from, and new ones growing every day.
Thank you very much, Ruth. Thank you very much for the information about the Auckland Interfaith Council and for this report on the Exploring Sacred Spaces, and all the best for the work that you continue, and great that you started this Interfaith Council together with some others, but I'm really happy for this.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And to our listeners, well, our last retreat for this year is starting on Sunday, the 3rd of December, until Saturday, the 9th of December. And by now, you should all have received our booklet for 2018. In case you haven't received your personal copy and would like to have one, please let us know, and you can stop by or send us an email, and we'll send a copy to you. For all our events at the center, please register with us per phone at 09-638-6238 or via our website at www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. I wish you all a blessed Friday and a good week ahead. And thank you very much, Ruth, for coming here.
Thank you. My pleasure.